Again, thank you all for tuning in. I forgot to mention that earlier. Welcome to those that are live streaming. And for everyone that's in attendance, I know my brother has prepared for this evening's service. And I don't think words can expound on how I appreciate my brother. And I know of all the things that he desires and the ways that he goes about serving the Lord. He expresses himself through our friendship in many different ways, and it's a pleasure, and I'm humbled to know that Jose has dedicated his life to serving the Lord. And he's not just a light here when he's behind the pew, but I see him outside of here, and he brings smiles to faces, and he has that ability to be able to bring the word of God to people wherever he's at and has the opportunity to do so. So with that tonight, I hope that his message would touch you in a way that the Lord desires and that you be open unto him. So I'll turn it over to our brother, Jose Galvan.
Can you hear me now? All right. Once again, I want to thank my brother for his words. I think I was turning purple over here, because it's not always easy for me to stand before you. And I ask you guys to pray for me as I stand here behind this pulpit, and to bring the word forward. You know, it's true what my brother says, that whenever I have the opportunity, I do try to bring, you know, that difference, the warm love of happiness that we have, the trust that we have in God. And, you know, how awesome is that he can use us as an example, you know, for others, for other people, including family and you know, close friends. Last weekend, I believe, no, 2 weeks ago, we went to Golden Valley. My brother Joe invited me to travel with him, and we talk a lot, and I feel myself that I'm not an easy guy to talk, and I'm sure we all have that issue, and so perhaps by now, after 15 years that I've been here with you guys, you know me. And I'm working out in my on those issues in my life, to be a better person, a better Christian, a better example to those who are around me. But once again, it's a process. It's a process when we walk with the Lord. It's a process for us to be where he wants us to be. The one of the songs that we just sing in the new book, it touched my heart. It reminds me to the scripture in Isaiah 6, where it says here, when the Lord asks, who should we send? And Isaiah answers, here I am, Lord, send me. When I accept the calling of my office where I am right now, it was really scary. It was really scary, and so I know that when I was called the same day, and from there 5 days, 10 days, I think it was before I decided to accept it. I give it a really good, good thought, and I pray a lot if that was what God wanted me to do. And so my answer was yes. And so now I don't feel myself pressure to stand before you. Like, we are not, you know, pressured to do it. It's something that it comes from your heart. It's something that you wish to do. It's something that it will, when you make that choice, it's like your whole life change. And so even by, you know, coming to Christ and accepting that we are sinners and accepting Christ in our hearts and ourselves and our life is a big change for all of us. And so we all have mistakes. We all, we're not perfect. And so I'm speaking for myself. And so I just trust in the Lord, and hopefully he will guide me in everything I do. And so the prayer for me is that for all of us to feel the same. So you can see my title here, my sermon today, is there's something that God has put in my heart, and I can't believe it, but that's how it is. That's how God works. My brother Gary used this scripture this morning. Where is it? Matthew 11:28. And so as I was listening to him, I believe the Holy Spirit do guide us in our words and our sermons and our thoughts. And so I know that he is here with me, with us today, I mean tonight. So with that, I'm going to read a verse in the Bible, in the Psalms 37:7. But before that, I'm just going to read here my notes. It says, did God create the rest for our benefit, to restore us? We can experience true rest when we spend time with God's presence. It's like praying or reflecting on His word. And as we take time from our busy schedule that we have, if we can be still, silent, present, and allow Him to work in us, you can feel it. Just like one of our sisters this morning witnessed it, as she was being a minister, she felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in herself. And so, like I said, for others, well, might sound a little senseless, weird, but we all know that that's how God lives in us. The very first time that we accept Him, He lives in you. There's a scripture that says that no longer you live, but Christ lives in you. So the very first time that you accept Christ in yourself, in your life, He is with you. You're no longer alone. And Psalms 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That not thyself because of him who prosper in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. This type of writing, I don't even know why I choose that. I can't even read it. But I try to match it to what's in the top. But and the Lord is the rest. And the Lord is the rest. And what we have going in our lives, in our daily life, we by getting close to Him, by remembering Him in our hard times that we're going through, He gives us rest. And if we ask Him and wait patiently for Him, He will send us that comforter. And that's what Christ, you know, told us, you know. He will send us a comforter to comfort us in every issue that we have in our lives, in every way that we are, everywhere that we be. We're not alone. We have a comforter that will watch over us, that will guide us, direct us, and also to warning us from danger. And I truly believe that if you trust in that, you be of yourself, you know, free of trouble. Because when you hear something speaking to you behind you, it's not your conscience, it's the Holy Spirit telling you the things that you should do, the things you should not do. And we need to listen, because when we go, it's like when we make our own decisions, it's that we trust in the arm of flesh. And that is, you know, God has told us not to trust in the arm of flesh. Trust in him, or you will fail. We will fail. And everything will go wrong. And we have seen it. When we make our own decisions and not bring to pray and prayers to the Lord, we fail. One peace of mind is that we have peace from the Lord, which the world cannot give us, and which the world cannot have either. God knows our days, and not one day shall go unworthy. One thing I know, that the heavenly happiness should be forever. God give us the good example of resting, and we can see it in Genesis when he made the earth, when he made his creation, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Because that ended, he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so the question is, that God really needs rest? I don't think he needs rest. He's God. He's almighty. He is powerful. He does not need a rest. But I think that for him, doing these things is always a purpose behind it. It's always a purpose. And so we all know, and we all use it, you know, we work 5 days, and the 7 days where we rest, we're dedicated to the Lord, which is Sunday. And so he asked us to keep it holy. So in that special days, which is today, it's a day that after you had a really horrible week, who knows what you went through, what you saw. Perhaps your mind is a scar for whatever you went through. Today is the day to bring everything to him, and he will give you rest. I think that what he says, come to me, is when you rest, you give everything to him, and he makes your shoulders lighter, yourself. I mean, you feel the peace, because that's what he is here for, to take all that weight away from you and to give you that peace and that love and your heart and all those things that you will know and you feel lighter. In Matthew 11:28-30, come in to me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. Come unto me, come to me. Call upon my name when you're in trouble. Like when I said this morning, when I was dealing with that stone in my kidney, I was just imploring his name over and over, knowing that I was not alone. And that whatever would happen, my trust is still in the Lord. I laid it on him. I give him all that I may find rest on him. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, when I hear from my yoke is easy, it's just like we have heard many, many times, you know, what is a yoke, and which I never been in Mexico, I never deal with anything like that, because I don't even know how to plant a grain of corn. But I have seen the people working the grounds with those things, and it's not an easy job. You had to have the strong boots, and they had to be the same way. They had to pull the same at the same time. So you know, everything works good. It has to be a good match. It has to be a good match. And by doing that, it makes the work easy to the person who's walking behind. Otherwise, he can be fighting, trying to put the one to the left, the other one to the right, to keep them in the middle so they have a straight line. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a farmer, but that's the way I see it. With him keeping us in line, it will be easy. That means, if we obey his commandments, our lives will be free of troubles, free of problems. We don't have to deal with it. Which it seems to me the other people do have a joy when they enjoy groups that they like to make problems and follow for troubles, and at the same time they are having fun, they have joy. But you know, I think in the book of Proverbs it says to stay away from those type of people that they delight themselves in spilling blood. We should not be part of them, and we should walk away. See you later. You're not part of my group. You're not my group. I don't want to be part of your group, especially when you already know what God wants of you. So we have to come to Him, and He will guide us and direct us in our lives. And by that, our burdens will be lighter. In Galatians 1, 6 to 10. I marvel that you are so soon removed from that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. I'm going to read it again because I got a little distracted. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. That is the worst concern that we can have, knowing, I was not born in the church. I learned, and I believe, and so, which it was something really hard for me in the Book of Mormon, and I believe and I know that it's the true and it's the fullness gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what it says there is a second witness. It's a witness of what the Bible it has. So the book makes them the holy scriptures, and so we have to be strong, and we have to trust in what we read, that we may not be part of this. I mean, Paul is having a hard time here saying, I can't believe you guys. You know, I was just there with you guys and teach you the word of God, the way of salvation. And I walk away, and then you just go back into your old ways. You're going back to you to do your evil habits, things that brings you pleasure. And so I have heard that a lot of the times, you know, a lot of people feel like they're not being fed. And so, but I don't think it's up to us. I can see that a lot of people, when we have scriptures up in the the screen. A lot of people like to write them down, and I was one of those people that I always like to write them down. I have so many books of notes that I have that I wrote notes the whole time that I was sitting in the bench, and I'm still doing it, and so that way you can just go back and read them again if you didn't have a chance to read them here. So that should not be an excuse for you not to be here or not to come to church. Or, you know, Christ gave himself for you. I mean, we remember him today. It's a wonderful thing to be part of his table, that you are able to partake of this emblems. Because what does it say? If you don't partake of them, you don't have life. You don't have life. You know, he says it. He says it in somewhere in John. I think I'm going to read it, but I'm going to finish this, which is not in order, but there be some that trouble you. And they are. We all know they are. They're up there waiting for you and will prevent the gospel of Christ. But that we or an angel from heaven peace and preach another gospel unto you, that which he have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And other people right now, when the first time of the did you mention or you say that you believe in the Book of Mormon, they're gonna grab into this scripture right here, because they're gonna say, if they know the Book of Mormon. Because what is Paul saying here? Don't believe any other gospel besides that one I teach you, even if an angel comes to you with another gospel, don't listen to him. But as we say before, so say I now again, if any man preach you any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now pursue men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. We do not preach to gain. We don't even get paid to preach. What we preach is what we know. What we preach is what Christ have asked us to do. What we preach is for your own good, for our own good, not for wealthiness or to take advantage of the people. Otherwise, I should not be the servant of Christ. And so that is something that will really trouble me. You know, the church, the people in Galatians were turning away from the gospel and follow other false doctrines. And Paul has to establish his credentials that the gospel he preached was not a man. And we read it, you know, in Galatians 1:12, that whatever he preached, he received it from Christ. There was a gospel, there was a revelation that came to him, and that's how he knew. I mean, to start with, he was the persecutor. So how did he learn all these things? Which he was, what's the word? When he was preaching to other people that know him and they know who he was, it's like, where did he got all this information? How did he know now that, I mean, he was a persecutor, now he preached salvation. Paul had to make them understand that the gospel he was teaching, he didn't receive it from man. He received it from Christ. And in those days, there was a sect called Gnostic. I'm pretty sure you guys have heard it before. And to them, that was something that was going around preventing the gospel of Christ. And so the Galatians, after they heard the true gospel, with Paul not being there, they just fall back. They fall off after wagon. I mean, that's, I don't know if that makes sense. But they went back to the evil days. And, you know, these people, this sect, Gnostic, was preaching they were studying the people that start the moon, the stars, and the days and the months and all those things, which has nothing to do with the gospel. But for them, being smart and doctors and you know, you're really good learners, that was the way of salvation. They didn't believe that Christ was the salvation. So they have been involved into observing days, months, seasons of the years that have nothing to do with God's gospel, but were part of a system that elevate ceremonies above the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Gnostics, it was more about to be wise, smart, and almost like Mr. Know Everything. They thought that by being wise, they were on the way to salvation and not to Christ Jesus. Christ said, I will give you rest if you believe in me. Not, this is the things that he is trying to prevent us from, get all turn around, people messing with your brain and just confusing you in a way that you, at the end, you end up who knows where. And perhaps not even in a church, but it keeps you from coming totally to church and stop listening to the gospel. So these things are even active right now in the days that we live. So what do we have to do? What do we have to do? You know, Paul said to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Give the best to him. In Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. With all your heart, do it as to the Lord and not unto men. Which is that falls into us even now as we try to survive in this world by working. Things that we have to do that we may be able to bring the bread to the table. So we have to obey and be humble. Be humble. And by doing that, we will go a long way. I mean, I've been in my work. In my work, I've been 32 years working in the same place. I mean, by now, I get up in the morning, and I'm like an autopilot. I get up, get dressed, go to work, come back, and it's just like the same every day. By me moving somewhere else, I don't think it will make any difference. And at this time, at this age that I am right now, I think I just gonna hang out there and stay there until I get kicked out. But by doing those things, I consider myself that I like to humble myself and do all the things that I need to do, my work, and the things that I need to do here in church. So we have to give the best to the master. In 2 Timothy here, 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approval unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. By doing these things, you show, you prove yourself, not just to Christ, but to the world, that we are who we are. We are Christians. And by studying the word, it's a way that we have a relationship with Christ. And at the same time, well, we have a way to have that knowledge and to be acknowledge that we need not to lift up ourselves, but to lift up God. And that is the truth. Not for ourselves, but for God, because that's who we work for Christ. And a lot of the times we do have the opportunity to be someone. And so that's when you have to be wise in a way to answer. Just like King Solomon, when God came to him and asked him, you know, what is it that you wish to have for me to give you? I mean, that was an open invitation to ask or to answer, like, you got to give it a good thought, what you really want. And it's like Christ almost, God almost read his mind at the things that he would ask for, but instead he did not ask that. And so, and Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God say, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon say, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness and heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne. And as this day and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made my thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out and to come in. And thy servant is in thy midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great people? I mean, the way he expressed himself there, I mean, he speak are really, really good, because he was called when he was a little kid, a little young guy, and I believe he was 15. That's what I read, and so I mean, at 15 years old, being a king, yes, I will probably ask the same thing, and now for other things that perhaps I could ask for a Xbox or a car, a truck or something. But instead of that, even now, I pray that I may have the understanding of what I'm reading. And that's just the whole truth. So that's the best decision that King Solomon made in his life. And the way that he did it, he humbled himself. And by doing that, he went a long way when he took the king's the kingdom responsibility. As we continue on, 10 to 13, in the same chapter. And the speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked these things, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked these things and hast not asked thyself a long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. That's what we all shall ask for the Lord. We need that. We need that even now. And the only way I can see that we can come out with this is that we have to read the scriptures, that we may have the understanding, the knowledge about what God has for us. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like this, like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the king like unto thee all of the days. So Solomon was the greatest king. He was known for being so wealthy and have the greatest acknowledge, so smart. They even people, I mean, we know the queen Shashiva, I can't forget her name, but she came and to witness and to know that if that was true. But he was a really smart, something that he had acknowledged from the Lord. But so this is where these people, this acknowledge, these gnostics, Christians borrow the idea of the redemption to Christ, but rather than believe that he redeemed them from sin, they believe that he will redeem them from matter, which is the flesh, which they consider to inherently evil. At the core of Gnosticism is the belief that they acknowledge words from the angels, from the stars, planets, to them was the path to salvation, if they know all those things. Acknowledge, understanding, that was the path to salvation. They're wrong. And they believe that the path of redemption is sin. The sin was through acknowledge. And the worst evil sin was from being ignorance and unlearned. So this is the doctrines that the Paul was dealing with the Galatians in those days. If you were smart, you will be safe. Instead of understanding the gospel that he preached to them, that through Christ is the salvation. Isn't it almost the same it is today? People preach wealthiness, richness, because God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be rich, and that is a doctrine that's a doctrine of the devil. That's a doctrine that we should not learn. But we all know that there's high famous preachers up there teaching those things. In Genesis, after 15:1-6, Abraham is a good example for after the things that the word of the Lord came into Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, thou wilt thou give me, seeing I got childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold, tell me, thou hast give no seed, and lo, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now towards heaven and tell me the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he saying to him, "So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for a righteousness, because Abraham, having the burden in his shoulder, especially when he hears the Lord speaking to him and saying, "Your seed will be countless. It will be like the dust of the earth, the sand of the beach, the stars of the skies. You can't even count it, but I have no child. What are you talking about? Who is my heir?" If we trust in the Lord, he knows our ways. if we trust in Him, He will show you the ways that we should go. That's all He asks. We don't need no acknowledge of other things. All the acknowledge that I need is to know more about what He wants of me, that I might be able to do those things that please Him. And so this, almost finished with this comment. It really brought me to the attention that these people were really changing, you know, like it's been happening over and over. I mean, we're reading the Book of Mormon. They after they know the true word of God, there will come people and they will lead them to the other paths, teaching them the wrong doctrines, and they will succeed. People will live in things that they see, not in things they don't see, and that's the problem right there. And so that's why Christ, you know, told Thomas, blessed are those that will live without seeing. And so this Gnostics believe that the solution was found in great understanding rather than in a savior and high priest who justifies and guides us through a process of sanctification. They would rather learn than submit. They would rather learn than submit. And that's one of the things that God wants of us, to submit ourselves, to humble ourselves, that we may have, that He may work in us. Stop having a hard heart. Instead, open it for Him. What did He say? I'm knocking on the door, waiting for you to open. Let Him end your life, that He may work on you. And I can tell you the feeling that you feel when you walk in Christ, you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. It's something that is a lot of the times you can't explain it. And so you can explain it in so much that you just want to share that love that you feel with your family, friends, and those who surround you. In Genesis 15:6, we are told that Abraham believed the Lord and He counted to him as righteousness. And that is where rest is in the Lord. When we are trusting in Him and we are righteous and sins in Him. That's where the peace of God comes to you. And you feel it. I mean, have you been scared? You know, you feel it in your shoulders when you get yourself in trouble that you know that it's gonna have consequence. And when you know that, you can feel that the tremendous Lord and on top of you, they almost you feel like you're being smashed. And it's something that you know that you just there's something wrong or something that's about to go wrong. It's something that you dare and you know that it's going to come back. And when it comes back, it's going to crash you. So we don't need no acknowledge. We don't need the what God gave Saul. I cannot ask that. I think that the things that I rather should do is just to get close to God and to have that relationship with Him. And by doing that, I will learn from Him. I will learn. Because what He says in James, He says that I think it's five, I don't As if we need understanding, bring it to the Lord. If we need understanding of His word, and it's right here on my screen. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God the gift to all men liberally and uprightly, not, and it should be given. It should be given him. If you lack wisdom, if you think you have no understanding, when you read your scriptures, ask God to give you that understanding. We all have that problem. We all have a problem. So we need to ask and come to Him and not to lean on the arm of flesh or things that are above you, like the stars or the days and all those things. No, God is all we need. God is all we need. So the Apostle James, in this verse, it claims that because of his faith, Abraham became the friend of God. And in James 2:23, it says, and the scriptural was fulfilled, which say Abraham believed in God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed. And that's all that we are out to do. In Moroni 10, chapter 10, 4, 6, and when you shall receive these things, I will exhort you that ye will ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. I gotta confess that there's so many books up there, and I've been encouraged, like, you should get this book, or you should read this book, it's really good, have you heard about it, it's a movie about it. I'm like, I haven't even read the Book of Mormon. I told that to myself, I'm not going to get myself involved with this other book, I don't even know what it's about. I prefer to know more about what God wants, and so I prefer to read the Book of Mormon and the Bible instead of any other book. I get confused. So if you haven't read the Book of Mormon, if you have, what it says right here, I will exhort you that you will ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you should ask with sincerity, heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, and He will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. And whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good deny the Christ, but acknowledge it that He is. And now, whoever denies Christ, that's the worst thing you can do. If you deny the Holy Spirit, that's the worst thing you can do. So as you can see, in Moroni, it's in the Book of Mormon, it's the last book, it's telling us who is Christ, who He is. And it says many, many times in there that Christ, Jesus Christ, and God is one. They are one God. So by Him was everything made, and without Him nothing was made. It says in the Book of John, the first chapter. Mormon, the data Moroni, Moroni 9:6. It says, now my beloved son, this is Mormon Moroni's dad, notwithstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently, for if we shall cease the labor, we shall be brought under condemnation. For if we shall see to preach, for if we shall see to bring the gospel of Christ, the eternal life, salvation, repentance, we should be brought under condemnation. I hope and pray that we're not in that point, in that position, and that I don't know what word to use. I don't want us to be in there. We have to continue on in what he has called us to do, no matter what, for we have labor to perform within the tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. As he see himself coming to end, he is saying, son, no matter what happened, we must continue. We must continue to preach as the end is coming, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot see from labor. So when I heard this song, and it talks about Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, who should I send? We have to stand up and prepare ourselves for when that day comes and says, here am I, send me. That's all what he wants. Romans 10:11-13. For the scriptures say, whosoever believes in him should not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jews or the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We are saved only through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the salvation that we have to continue bring over and over. Paul tells the congregation in Rome that Israel has a seal of God, but not according to that knowledge. And Romans 10:2 says they are Israelites like to think that they are serving God, but the way they go about is contrary to the instructions that God has given them. And we remember, you know, Rome was causing a lot of trouble in Israel. They were the governor, they were the rulers. But that was the mindset of Paul maybe when he was persecuting the church. But that's not it. The same problem with the Galatians and their acknowledged that they had after, you know, heard the true gospel. And so that we have to, you know, not let that happen in our lives. In John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. John 6:58, and this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers dare eat manna and are dead. He that eat of this bread shall live forever. We, as Christian, we have Christ in us, and he is the bread. That's what he means here in this verse. He is the bread of life. We have to go to him. What we did this morning is an emblem, is something that he told us to continue doing and remember that he is the bread, the true bread. It's like the people who eat in the days of Moses, it's like they eat what we eat right now and they are dead. But whoever eats the bread that came from heaven, he is the true bread of life, Christ Jesus. And Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. So he has given us laws, he has given us commands, and those are the things that we have to follow and obey. Jesus himself said that the eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, as in John 17:3, by which he means the experience and the intimate relationship with the Father and the Son. Something that those people in those days in the Galatians, but I call again, I don't know if I'm saying it right, Gnostics or Gnostics, will never accept. They believe that God will have nothing to do with what they consider to be evil matter and flesh. They did not care that God called his physical creation good, but he created and he said it's very, very good. For they still saw it as corrupt. They considered this world like a prison from which like to be free. The Gnostics believed that the solution was found in greater understanding, to know everything, to be doctorate, rather than a savior and a high priest who justify and guide us through the process of sanctification. The truth is the Gnostics will rather learn than submit. But Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself, and therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that the proper time he might exalt you. And that is our hope, that is our belief, the at the end, which is more and much to speak about it. The Christ's second coming will come for you and I. And I don't know when that is going to happen. As you know, so many things are going around this world that fulfill the prophecies on Matthew 24, Mark 13, and it's happening. And so are we getting closer to the end? I will say yes, we are getting closer to the end. So the time that we have, we don't know. We don't know. The time to prepare is now. And so I strongly recommend that we should do our best to be followers of Christ. And if you do that, I will pray that you do it with all your heart and not just to. God will know your heart completely. He knows your thoughts. He will know when we are true followers of him. And so let us not be cold or hot in his presence, because he may throw you out, spill you out. Let us be truthful followers of Christ. And so I ask that we need to give him the best. We need to give him our best by serving him in any way we can. And so thank you for your time. This is my thoughts for tonight. And our closing song, it's going to be in my next slide.
Appreciate that message. And